Are you ready for the 12th annual Super Bowl of Briefing? Come on!
Well, everybody has lost my voice a little bit. All the Super Bowl activity earlier. It is coming back, though. Hey, how many Bronco fans? Real quick. Broncos. Pretty strong. Seahawks.
All right.
Ooh, about 50-50.
How about Bengals? There they are.
Wait till next year one more time. Welcome, everybody. My name's Mark Stetcher, campus pastor up in Mason. And I have, for the very first time, my esteemed good friend and colleague, Greg McElfrish, campus pastor of the New West Side Campus.
That's right. My friend Mark has been screaming like a girl for four services straight. It's beginning to show. Hey, folks, we just want to say that all hour long, we're going to be straddling the fence on biblical truth as well as complete irreverency. What we're doing today should have gotten this place shut down a long time ago.
And sued.
That is 100% correct. So, hey, if you are here, you're probably wondering, how did I find myself here on Super Bowl Sunday morning? I thought the person who brought me here was my friend.
They're not.
Well, hey, we just want to say in advance, we are absolutely sorry for the hour that we are about to take from you and replace it with complete ridiculousness.
Indeed. Next 75 minutes, anything goes. Before we get there, though, we want everyone to stand up and squish. This is a really important one.
That's right, 10:30. You get no buffer seats, no seats for your coat,
Do
no seat for
drop
your friend who's not here yet.
And act like you're, oh, I had to get my glove so I couldn't move.
Scoot it into the middle
tactic.
Of your section.
Knock it off and get up and squish.
Scoot
to the middle.
The middle.
To the middle. Thank you so much for
middle
that.
Of your section, because on those ends, on those aisle seats, we're going to invite in. Stand by. Stand by. Any seat at this point is now and your friends.
And at this time, we're going to go to our dear friend and esteemed colleague down on the sidelines, Mr. Solomon Wilcox.
Solly.
Thanks, guys. The Super Bowl of preaching isn't just another game. It's a gauntlet of physical and mental duress, an event requiring such complete strength that most people's buttholes pucker at the mere thought of it. Without enough stamina, focus, and preparation, all you'll do is embarrass yourself. So, this year, Chuck Mingo and Brian Tomes spent the week before the game making sure they were in tip-top shape. Let's take a look.
All right, who here is ready to work? I'm talking to you. Look at me, Tomes. Look at me, Mingo. We're about to do some work. Are you ready?
Drive, boys, drive, drive, drive!
Dress under duress.
Nobody believes what you say. Do you even know where your Bible is?
Thus says the Lord to the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel.
The moon, the stars, the sun by night.
Give it to me.
Are you man enough? Let's go.
Enough!
That was good here.
Better to live in the desert than with the quarreling wife.
Staring contest?
Yeah, you take a break, Chuck. You've been working so hard.
But keep it going! Let's go, let's see some movement, let's see some pace. Yes. Let's go!
Enemies of our foes, they stumble and fail.
Speed walking. I like that.
Hey, hey. How's that feel?
Huh? Indian leg wrestling.
Yeah!
Oh, brain! Oh, stop!
The hand smack game.
I didn't say stop! Let's go! Run! Roger, go! Do me something! I want you to run! Give me everything you've got! Come on!
After this week-long training regimen, I caught up with the athletes for one last pre-game check-in. Well, hey there, Chuck. Thank you for coming out and spending some time with me.
Always good to see you, Solly.
Well, this is the most intensive pregame regimen you've ever been a part of, right?
I'd say. It was a whole new level of pain.
Well, I've been watching tapes of some of your workouts. I'd love for you to tell me more about this drill.
Great, let's do it.
Take a look at this first.
Be tougher!
Now, Chuck, I gotta ask, have you ever actually played football before?
I've been playing football for 25 years. Solomon, you ever heard of Tecmo Bowl or Super Tecmo Bowl? How about quarterback attack? NFL TK3? Madden 25? Chuck, I've beaten them all.
You do know those are video games, right?
And I kicked their butts.
Wow. Okay, well, take a look at this clip. I mean, what can I say about this other than wow?
Wow, I mean, there's some ebony and ivory magic going on right there. You know what? Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney have nothing on us. Somebody give me a harmonica. It's something else, isn't it?
It certainly is something. Well, take a look at one more clip.
Every single time I'm hitting
him. The paw palms.
I have hit him every single time. Read the Bible.
Now, it's been said that the athlete, for them, the most important part of the body is the mind. How does this drill affect your mental state?
Well, you know, I would say that the most important part of an athlete's body is actually the glute. And between you and me, Solomon, this drill took me right up to the edge and I almost cracked.
Ooh.
But I wouldn't trade it for the world. That trainer we got to work with, he's the best trainer I've ever seen. He might be the best man in the world.
All right, let's talk about your opponent. What do you think about Brian Tone?
You know, Brian is a great competitor, a great student of the game. I'm honored to play against him in the Super Bowl, and I think it's going to be a tough, well-fought game.
All right, come on. That sounds like some well-thought-out sports cliche. Tell me, what do you really think?
I'm going to murder that man.
Next, I sat down with 12-time Super Bowl of preaching competitor Brian Tome to ask him about the week leading up to the big game. Hey, Brian, so how are you feeling?
I'm feeling so good. I could eat a pregnant possum.
So is that good or bad?
It's good. What do you think it's good? Yeah.
So I understand you've been through this intense training, getting ready for the preaching competition. Here, let's take a look at some of the tape.
Libby.
Now, does this remind you of your high school football days?
Actually, there's a lot of similarities. Then, as in now, lean, mean, best anyone's ever seen. All day long, take it to the bank. That's what I'm talking about. God bless America.
Did I hear you yell Libby when you grabbed the tackling dummy?
I did, actually. She's been out of town, so I've been a little affection-starved, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on. Here, let's take a look at the tape.
What are you doing?
Having a good time.
You're a fool!
God bless America.
This drill, I mean, it's a little unorthodox to say the least. How does beer and pizza help you to prepare for the preaching competition?
Solomon, a key to my success is I'm an average dude for average dudes. That's the deal. And so my workout is an average workout that average guys would do to get extreme results. And how do most people lift? The way I lift. So I do my lifting. My favorite kind of workout is 12 ounces of aluminum at a time. That's the way I do it. 12-ounce rep after 12-ounce rep after 12-ounce rep. And if I can multitask inside an aerobic workout, that's what I'm going to do.
So what about this drill? I mean, why? What is this?
Oh, shit.
Why?
Believe it or not, it's a really good core workout, also called low impact.
Okay, let's take a look at one last video clip, because I gotta ask you, what is this?
Are you ready to train? Tome!
Yes, I'm ready.
Are we
I'm
ready to yes, turn I'm your ready. Weak, soft body into something that can fight?
Yes.
You guys are about to go through a training program unlike anything you've ever experienced before. I don't think you can handle it, but we're gonna do it anyways! Let's go.
It seems like this coach of yours is heaping abuse on you guys. I mean, what is this coaching style? Is it even coaching?
Two words. Awesome. Life-changing. I tell you what, that dude was a messenger sent from heaven. Just as Jesus is going to come down on a white horse, that dude came in on a gray Segway. I just want to tell you right now, kitty cat coach Big Mike, amazing results. A shout out to you and all the people on the winning team in this room right now, in this room right now, the winning team is going to have a champion to cheer for, and it's going to be because of your unorthodox training. It's all about results, about nothing else than what's on the scoreboard, and the scoreboard's going to have a lot of chapter and verses on it today. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me, and it's going to rain yet again in 2014.
I reached out to Chuck and Brian's trainer to discover the secret to his success. But upon further investigation, it seems this so-called trainer was really just a pizza delivery man named Big Mike who apparently snuck into the practice facility.
All right, girls, who here is ready to work? We're here to train. I'm going to turn the two of you weak.
He has no prior experience training athletes or preachers for that matter. He probably stole that segue and he even owes me $50. So if you see Big Mike, you tell him I'm looking for him. Back to you guys.
Thanks a lot, Solomon. Mark, this is not your first rodeo. Give us your key to the game.
Well, if you've watched him as long as I have, the real key is going to be, like it is within real football turnovers, it's the special plays. So that means really, really good use of those random phrases. And folks, they are random. And no penalties. Stay away. It's going to affect the scoring, I'm sure of it.
That makes a little bit of sense to me. Let's head down to the field for today's starting lineups.
And now for the 2014 starting lineups. Introducing 12-year Super Bowl of Preaching veteran, a pulpit-pounding pastor all the way from Pittsburgh. He's a master of the motorcycle and samurai of the scriptures. Nicknamed the Chuck Norris of preaching, the one, the only, Brian Tom. His seventh Super Bowl of preaching, an underdog hailing from Philly, with a personality that outshines the top of his head, an Olympian of the Old Testament and ninja of the New, he's lean, he's mean, he's a holy preaching machine, Chuck Mingo!
He's got his funk on. Mingo looks sharp today. Greg, we need to rope these two in. Can you tell us what the rules are for today? Oh, my.
I feel really bad for the folks over in that section right about
shield
now.
Shield the eyes of your children if they're in here.
Well, that's right, Mark. There are four rules to today's competition. The first is that each preacher will receive 2 9-minute quarters. They must use 3 reference sources, one of which must be the Bible. They'll also receive a random phrase each and every quarter. We tell you folks, these are completely random. They've never seen them. They're different every single time. And as always, all points are at the full jurisdiction of our referee.
Which is a whole nother topic. As you know, Greg, we've had some mathematically challenged Super Bowls before. We're wondering if today's ref, with his new pants, trying not to look so funky, our very favorite referee, the campus pastor of Florence, Mr. Terry Phillips. Let's go down for the coin toss.
Gentlemen, let's bring it in for the coin toss. I want a good, clean game. Chuck, I want to see at least a little toughness out of you. Brian, let's keep the offensive comments to a minimum. As home team, you'll call the coin toss in the air.
Tails, what I be kicking.
The coin toss is heads. Chuck Mingo, do you like to kick or receive the Bible?
Actually, I'm going to defer.
Oh.
Typical nice guy.
Could be a mistake. We ask him to get meaner. He gives the ball away right away.
Here's the kick.
And the kick. Clean reception. Unusual for Brian.
Random phrase.
Brian, your random phrase for the first quarter, please pick one. And your random phrase is, come on, bro, don't Bogart the Funyuns.
Come on, bro. Something with Funyuns.
I'm sorry, Terry, could you repeat that? Don't
what
the Funyuns?
What the Funyuns are going. What the Funyuns?
Don't Bogart the Funyuns.
Bogart. All right.
Well, it's great for us to all be together today. You know, we started this thing 12 years ago. We realized that our culture was becoming increasingly divided, and the one thing we all come together on is the most popular national holiday, the Super Bowl entire weekend festivity. So we said, why don't we just take what's happening in culture, people love partying around the Super Bowl, and meld it to another problem, or a problem, where church attendance is down that weekend. Let's try to put these together, and what do you know, here we are 12 years later, and we're still doing this. So welcome, everybody. It's great having you here today. And let me pray before we go any further. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the ability to laugh, and I thank you for the ability to learn. I pray that our brains that you've blessed us with would operate today. You'd help us to understand things or see things that we may not have seen before, and make this beneficial for all of our personal and spiritual development. And I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So one of the popular people in the Bible who's responsible for penning a lot of the New Testament is known as the Apostle Paul. We're going to look at a section of Scripture that he has in the book of 2 Corinthians, which he wrote, and here's what it says. So to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Apostle Paul here has a lot of success in his life, a lot. This is a guy right now, he's seeing visions, he's having supernatural encounters with God. This is a guy who has a writing ministry where people are listening to him in an amazing way. He's an entrepreneurial guy. He's starting different churches all over the world, really, the known world from them. And he says, I've got this issue, though, to keep me from feeling too good about myself. There's this thorn in the flesh. This is adversity. We're looking at adversity today. Anybody in here have any sense of adversity in your life at all? Like anything you don't necessarily like in your life? Okay. I assume most of us are introverts and don't want to raise our hand right now because most of us have something that we're just not excited about. Here's the thing. Your adversity is dictated by your baseline of success. So Paul had a lot of success in his life, so his baseline of adversity was playing off that success. So if you've got a good life, comfortable life that's here, and you have a little adversity that's down here, uh-oh, it's beneath my realm. I don't like it. I'm in a hard way. But somebody else, their realm of success and well-being could be here, and so what's adversity for you might not be too bad for them. It's all subjective, but the most important thing is all of us feel it, and there is this thorn that's stuck inside of him that keeps pricking him. It's interesting that we don't know what this thorn is. Some people have said, well, maybe it's his eyesight, maybe he has arthritis, maybe it's something else. We don't know, and this is actually good because therefore, since we don't know, we can all assume we understand because we can insert the adversity into the passage as our own personal thorn. Here's what it says in one commentary. Is there a single servant of Christ who cannot point to some thorn in the flesh, visible or private, physical or psychological, from which he has prayed to be released, but which has been given him by God to keep him humble and therefore fruitful in his service? Every believer must learn that human weakness and divine grace go hand in hand together. So the thorn is anything that causes us to lean into God. The thorn is anything that reminds us that we're not all there. The thorn is anything that at the same time is bothersome to us. I got a number of thorns. I have a back that you never know exactly when it's going to go out. And I do whatever I can to try to make myself be healthy and do what I need to do. But yesterday, coming out of the first service, I did a full sprint up and down the aisles, bending down, and all of a sudden my back went, so I'm not totally on my game physically right now. My back is a thorn in my flesh. It just continues to bother me now and again, and I can't predict when exactly it is. crossroads in many ways is a thorn in my flesh. I love our church. I love that all of us are engaged in one way or another. But I'll tell you what, whenever you have a lot of people, guess who you have a lot of? Problems. People means problems. And the draw, the magnetic force of crossroads, the gravitational pull is something that is sometimes feels like a burden to me. In many ways, it is a thorn. It's something that is in me. All of us have these things that are in us, or we want to have it. How many of us are going to love having something at the Super Bowl party this afternoon? Awesome. I mean, I know I'm going to love having things in me. I'm going to be saying, hey, bro, how about passing the Funyuns my way? I'm going to be all about that party. Thorns are in us just like Funyuns.
Close, Funyuns. But I'm not sure if it counts.
Another thorn that another thorn for me is I was given up for adoption as a little child, first couple weeks of birth, and it was actually a very selfless, wonderful, loving thing for my birth mother to do. But at the same time, I'm thankful she did that. I've never met her. At the same time, I realized that perhaps this is why I'm a bit paranoid relationally. Psychologists would say that I encountered a primal wound. The person I was connected to, DNA in a heartbeat, all of a sudden I was disconnected from. And perhaps this is one of the reasons why when someone leaves me or leaves a church or something like that, I feel a bit more bruised than somebody else. It's like a thorn that's always present.
Early penalty.
Wow.
Holding on to the past for way too long.
Oh, my God.
Man, he nails him.
There'll be a 3-point penalty assessed at the end of the quarter. You maintain
nowhere.
Possession of the Bible.
Was that related to the vulnerability about adoption?
Yeah, I mean, to nail a guy over the fact that he's adopted, that's just cold, Terry Phillips.
I am struggling. That is rugged.
One of the feel-good Super Bowl stories of the day is Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning coming back, having had a difficult neck surgery, yes. Great, 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 great story. Why is it a great story? It's because he's had the adversity of the thorn of his neck. It's the thorn that's caused him to now throw wobblier passes than he used to that probably is causing him to lean on God more. I believe he is leaning on God more. And I think that, based on what I know about his relationship with God, at least from what he says in his book that he co-authored with his dad, look what he says. He says, my faith doesn't make me perfect, it makes me forgiven and provides me the assurance I looked for half my life ago. I've been blessed with having so little go wrong in my life. He said that then, I'm not sure if he would now. And being given so much. Some point to heaven after scoring a touchdown and praise God after games. I have no problem with that, but I don't do it. And I don't think it makes me any less a Christian. I just want my actions to speak louder and I don't want to be more of a target for criticism. His thorn that's come his way has probably drawn him closer to God because it's challenging the assumption that he's self-sufficient. This is what thorns do. Adversity challenges the assumptions that we have about our own selves and our own abilities to power through in life. When we started Crossroads, 18 years ago, we pulled the core group, the small core group that was part of the church to start it, and we said, who is it that's had a big impact on your life spiritually? We got their name, we got their number, we called all those folks. And we asked them all, tell us about the things that have grown you spiritually. What's made you strong? And we had a certain number of things that erupted as patterns. And one of the things that came up over and over again was adversity or suffering. And we heard regularly, I didn't like that adversity that I went through. I didn't like that diagnosis from the doc. I didn't like the divorce, or I didn't like the this, or I didn't like the that. But looking back on it, that adversity challenged some assumptions I had, and it actually caused me to be spiritually stronger. Today, we want to challenge assumptions and get us spiritually stronger, because adversity helps us to challenge assumptions.
Yeah, strong, very strong.
Touchdown, Brian Tome. Brian, you're awarded 7 points for a great message and 3 points for use of the phrase. You also have a penalty resulting in the end of first quarter score. Brian Tome, 7. Chuck Mingo, 0. That's the end of the first quarter.
He is taking that 7, that 3 points away. I'm shocked.
Yeah, I got to say, Mark, that's an all-new low for Terry Phillips. You would think that he would have a little bit of more softness towards it. And I will also say, unbelievable.
You mean given the Kentucky line or what is it?
I don't want to bring Kentucky into it. You know, the fact that Tome is preaching with a bad back today, phenomenal start for the guy.
Very strong, very sharp. But we know why you really came here. It's the commercial. So let's see here what our sponsors have for us today.
From the makers of Christian Mingle, Carney Dates, and AmishMingle.com comes a new online dating service for a very special group of people. Introducing ClownMatch.com.
Dating sucks.
It's like people are afraid of me or something.
Hey, take a picture. It'll last longer.
My friend set me up with this girl. The first thing she says was, "What is this, some kind of a joke?"
Lately, it's just me and this horn.
ClownMatch.com gives you access to other single clown professionals looking for the same companionship as you.
I just want someone to curl up next to me and make balloon animals all night.
I want a unicycle built for two.
I just want someone who won't laugh at me.
At ClownMatch.com, you're guaranteed to find a mate or your money back.
This date's going really well. I mean, me and Choo Choo the Clown here, we got so much in common. I mean, we both love slipping on banana peels and cramming into little cars with all our friends. I think she might be the one.
I'm a man.
Well.
Find your perfect clown mate at clownmatch.com.
Everyone faces barriers in life. Yet nothing is more powerful than overcoming them. One of the biggest barriers of all is the language barrier. But now you can overcome that barrier with the help of our revolutionary product.
Yes, Dalio! Bloody hell!
Introducing Rosetta Tone. It's the fastest, most natural way to learn a regional accent. Guaranteed.
Aye, matey, aye, way over there. Y'all know where they wear bagpipes, put a shrimp on the barbie. Aye.
I feel like I can really connect with my Scottish grandfather now.
Honestly, mate, best thing I can do is, you can do for me is help me. Now I'm going into Alabama right now.
Speaking to someone in their own accent can be incredibly powerful.
Rosetta Tome, in my opinion, is the ultimate method, the only method to learning an accent.
No, never dreamed I'd be able to communicate with the birds in my own backyard. I mean, we really understand each other.
Call this number now and try a free trial version of our cutting-edge software. Then, travel the world as a friend, not a tourist. Paint a picture for a client in a vocabulary that resonates with them. Learn where you come from and connect like never before. Call now to take advantage of this incredible leap in speech learning technology. Rosetta Tome. Let's break down the language barrier.
What if, this year, your future looked a little different? Someone handed you this. So you did a few of these and packed something like this. You left here for a place over here, or here, or here. And instead of a week on this guy, you spent a week with these guys. You ate less of this and more of this, and maybe even a little of this. You gave up this shirt for this one. You built this. You washed these. You celebrated them. You prayed with her. You held her. This year, come with us. New Orleans, South Africa, India. It's a good year to go.
Yeah.
All right.
Very strong. Love those commercials.
I want to comment on Clown Match, but let's actually unpack a little bit. Go NOLA. Hey, we're taking 400 folks down to New Orleans this summer. We're going to build houses. We're going to care for kids. We're going to love on a city that, believe it or not, is still wrecked by Hurricane Katrina.
And if you're visiting for the first time, or maybe you haven't even started your God journey, it doesn't really matter. We want you to join us. The GO trips are life changers. Jump on in. It is a tremendous opportunity.
That's right, folks. All right, well, the second quarter's coming, so buckle up and let's head down to the field and check in with Terry Phillips.
Chuck, you'll have the Bible for the second quarter. Go ahead and pick your random phrase. Your random phrase is, contrary to popular belief, I am, in fact, a thespian.
Contrary to popular belief, I'm a thespian. Just to be clear.
Thespian.
Adversity. Paul, and this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, because here's a guy who has great faith, being very honest about a big God question we all have probably asked, which is, God, if there is a God, how can there be this suffering or adversity? Would God bring that to me? How do I deal with that? And Paul is wrestling through this in his personal life. So he says this: a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. And the word harass here actually means to be struck with a fist. So Paul is saying, this thing is bloodying me. It is beating me, and I don't understand it. And Paul, a man of great faith, prays about this regularly. He says, 3 times, I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. He prays regularly about it, but you know what answer he gets from God? Response denied. Response denied. Why would it be that God wouldn't answer that prayer, but instead he would get response denied? It's because of the big idea in this quarter, which is adversity can help us face our limits. And it's a good thing to face our limits. So every year in the dictionary, they have certain words, or actually every year in culture, New York Times will put out an article of words to eliminate from the year before. So there's some words that we should eliminate in 2014. One of them is the term cray-cray. Anybody use that term?
Sure.
Cray-cray?
Strike it.
Anybody know somebody who's cray-cray? It's their last time to call it out. So, yeah, we don't want to use that word anymore. And, because there is a God, the other word that should be struck from our language is the word twerk. Can I get an amen?
Yep.
Tired of that word.
Mark, you're a twerker.
Tired
no,
of
right?
word.
No, strike that.
Now, one that actually should stay is the word thespian, because contrary to popular opinion, I actually am a thespian. So, that one should stay. That one should stay. But,
a reach.
The others need
a
to go.
A little stretch.
Now, I want to add a phrase to that. And the phrase is, you probably heard this before, you probably heard this when you were in adversity. Has anybody ever told you, God will never give you more than you can handle? Anybody ever heard that? That is not true. It's not true. All through the Bible, God gives people more than they can handle. There's a man named Abraham who his wife and him, they could not have children. They're struggling with infertility. God comes to him and says, I'm going to give you a son, and I'm going to make a great nation out of your family. That's more than Abraham could handle. Moses, in the Bible says Moses was slow of speech. We don't know what that means, but he had some kind of speech impediment. I'll tell you what it means, though. He probably sounded less like Charlton Heston, who's also a thespian, and he probably sounded more like Mike Tyson. Hey, Pharaoh, can you let my people go? Hey, because I'm the greatest forever, and if you don't let them go, I'm going to bite your ear. I'm going to bite you in your ear. He probably sounded
really
more like that.
He is a thespian. Beautiful Mike Tyson.
Very good.
See, what Paul is getting to is this truth that for us is perhaps not what we originally think of with God, but here's the deal. One guy put it really well. God does his best work when we are at the end of our rope. God is okay with not eliminating every limit, every thorn from your life, because he can do something beyond eliminating it when you embrace it. I have limits. I have lots of limits in my life. Ask my wife as a husband. I have limits. My kids, 5 and 2, they already have some great episodes of ineptitude of dad because I have limits as a father. I have limits in all kinds of areas of my life. I'll tell you some more of my limits. I've never been to seminary.
That one's obvious to me.
Agreed.
I took 1 public speaking class in high school.
Probably didn't finish it either.
Again.
And I right now have areas of sin in my life that I know God wants to deal with me on. And I tell you what, I have limits. One of my other limits, my mentor in ministry is Brian Tome. Folks, I have limits. I have limits.
That is
Drew, the penalty.
Personal foul, roughing the pastor.
It's going to hurt.
Dirty.
This one's going to hurt.
I'm actually awarding you 3 extra points at the end of the quarter.
Yes.
About time you got tough.
Unexpected turn of events.
Jerry Phillips,
3 points for the boldness.
He has brought this crowd to life.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. I have limits all over my life, and to think that with all of my limits, God gives me the privilege, the opportunity to lead and be a part of this community of people who are changing the city and changing the world is an amazing thing to me. And God somehow believes it's better for me not to eliminate all the limits in my life, but to actually embrace them. God is okay with limits. And Paul actually says these limits can be a gift. He says, a thorn was given me in the flesh. One translation puts it this way: I have been given the gift of a handicap. How can a handicap be a gift? How can a thorn be a gift? This word thorn is actually the word stake. It's like a stake driving in me, and it's a gift. How can that be a gift? Well, it can be a gift if that stake is puncturing pride in Paul. And I think that's what was happening here. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride comes before a destruction. So as challenging as the limit is for Paul, God would rather him than face this limit than have the fatal limit of pride take him out of the ministry and the call that God had on him. What are your limits? What's the thorn? As we've been talking about this idea, what's the thorn in your life, the thorn in your side? And could it be that God actually has something greater in mind by enabling you to embrace that limit rather than eliminate it? I want to tell you guys, one of the reasons I wanted to rock the Seahawks jersey this weekend was because of a powerful commercial that I saw of one of the Seahawks players. Let's take a look at this one.
They told me it couldn't be done, that I was a lost cause. I was picked on and picked last. Coaches didn't know how to talk to me. They gave up on me. Told me I should just quit.
And the last pick is...
They didn't call my name. Told me it was over. But I've been deaf since I was three. So I didn't listen. And now I'm here. With a lot of fans in the NFL cheering me on. And I can hear them all.
Oh, my. Oh, my. That is facing your limits. Woo. Chuck goes for the heartstrings. I think that should be a movie rather than a commercial.
Couldn't agree more.
Well done.
I get choked up, honestly, every time I see that. Derek Coleman is a guy who had limits put on him his entire life since he was a child. And today, despite those limits, he's playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's playing in the Super Bowl today.
Yeah.
Hey, I tell you what, we would never pick the thorn. We would never pick the limit. But I want you to just consider that God can actually do more with you embracing the limit than if he eliminated it. And perhaps adversity then becomes an advantage when it helps us face our limits.
Wow, strong.
Touchdown, Chuck Mingo.
Look at that.
Chuck, you're awarded 7 points for a great message, 3 points for use of the phrase, and I'm awarding 3 points during the penalty. That results of an end of first half score, Brian Tome 7, Chuck Mingo 13. That's the end of the first half.
There you have it, Mark.
Amazing. I am really impacted by the Mike Tyson, and then he goes heartstrings. Greg, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, coming out, he defers the kick, and then all of a sudden you see a turn of aggression. He's awarded points for it. It's really his game right
He's
now.
He's got the momentum. It is that time to turn to halftime for the Super Bowl with a great halftime show. Now a look at some more commercials.
Okay, tough guy. You drive a truck because you work hard for a living. But only Ford makes a truck that lets you play hard, too. And there's only one way to play on the West Side. Cornhole. Introducing the new Ford F-150 West Side Edition. This baby's got capacity, so you can haul a different cornhole set for every occasion. Tailgating the Elder game, four purple and white sets should do the trick. Want to throw in a molar set just to burn before the game? We got room for that. There's a cornhole-shaped hole in the heart of every West Sider, and only the F-150 can fill it. And newsflash, the Ford F-150 was named best off-road performer in its class. Good for you, because West Side roads ain't usually for driving. They're for festivals. Going to the West Fest Street Fest? Toss a few sets in the back. St. Simon Festival, room for that too. St. Dominic Festival, no problem. St. William Festival, done. St. Lawrence, St. Teresa, St. Catherine, St. Martin, St. Jude, St. Ignatius, and St. Antonitus, we got you covered. Still got room to pay tribute to old St. Pete Rose? You bet. Because in the West Side, Rose is the red and collars are blue. Say hello to the new 2014 F-150 West Side Edition. Cornhole, cornhole, cornhole. Filled with 100% corn ethanol only.
change his car from red to black.
Did it work?
No.
Are you a man who still looks like a boy? Is your skin as smooth as Amish butter? Do you find yourself feeling a little jealous of your girlfriend's facial hair? You might be suffering from a serious but treatable condition called babyface-itis. Babyface-itis affects men between the ages of 18 and 98, and it may be affecting you. Beardacil is a revolutionary fast-acting pill that works by targeting the hair follicle and attacking babyface-itis at its root. Beardacil is an easy-to-swallow pill. Just take one pill 3 times a day and wait for your grown-up face to arrive. Do not take Beardacil if you are allergic to possum hair. Common but rare side effects may include dandruff, rashes, buck teeth, roommate problems, horse face, man emotions, really sharp fingernails, night terrors, lots and lots of screaming, amnesia, ugly crying, hair on your palms, hair on your tongue, hair on your forehead, mouth pooping, violent death, and sneezing. Beardacil is not for everyone, but we sure aim to make you look like everyone.
Now that's what I call Music 48 is here, featuring Robin Thicke and Katy Perry, including Lady Gaga and Selena Gomez.
I'm here live at the 20th Century Theater in Oakley, where rock and roll concert goers have just completed what may be the last concert for rock and roll in the world. Now, we're called here because about 25 minutes ago, first responders came to this scene. We're not exactly sure why they're here. We do know that it's either a medical emergency or some kind of an accident, but the victim does not look good. We're actually waiting for an update on the condition right now.
It's in VTAC. I'm charging a 360. Clear. Shocking.
Now, there does seem to be a development. It does not sound good. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so sorry to report. I can now confirm rock and roll is dead.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to celebrate the life and mourn the untimely death of rock and roll. Rock and roll fought long and hard with his amp up to 11, but it was no match for the armies of Bieber maniacs, Cyrus twerkers, and boy band reunion tours. It is with a heavy heart that we gather now. But like a phoenix from the ashes, we anticipate the one day rise of rock and roll. Until that time, let us remember the life of rock and roll.
With me, yeah, me.
army couldn't hold me back. They're gonna rip it off, taking their time right behind my back. And I'm talking to myself, cause I can't forget. Back and forth through my mind behind a cigarette. And the message coming from my
now.
up the Crossroads Halftime Band.
Woo!
Well done. Go ahead, take a seat. Amazing. How many people are having fun? Good. That is the goal. Have fun and talk about something that hopefully gives you something to think about the rest of the day and the rest of the weekend. It is a pleasure. At this point, we're going to take up an offering. It's our chance to pool resources and change the world. Now, if you're new, you're invited by a friend, or you've just been here a couple times, don't worry. We're not trying to pressure you into, hey, this is the cost of your seat. It's not that at all. But the folks who've been here know that we can actually change the world when we put our money together and we do things, whether it's fighting poverty in a way that's never been done before, like CityLink, whether it's fighting the AIDS and the HIV epidemic in South Africa and tending and caring for those folks, whether it's working to rescue the girls out of sex slave trade in India, or making more space all across our city so our friends can hear about the amazing love from God in a way they can understand. That's what we do, and we know that it is changing the world because we get to see the results in our friends and our neighbors all across the world. So at this time, we're going to pass around a little disc, and if not, you can go on electronically online and give, and we are going to take that, and we are going to change the world. So thanks for participating. Thanks for having fun, and let's go to some more commercials. Have a good time.
From the makers of Christian Mingle, Clown Match, and FarmHarmony.com, a new online dating service for a very special group of people. Introducing AmishMingle.com.
Is this a website?
We don't own a computer.
Meet other Amish singles in your area.
I already know all the Amish in my area.
Miriam Whitmer got kicked by a mule last week.
Oh, I heard about that.
Find your perfect Amish mate online, guaranteed, or your money back.
I'm already married.
We don't own a computer.
Our proprietary Mennonite Match software pairs you up according to your common likes, interests, and goals.
I don't think you're listening to me.
I met Hezekiah at a barn raising.
AmishMingle.com. Find your perfect Amish mate today.
Folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching car insurance to Geico sure are happy.
How happy are they, Robbie?
As happy as Chuck Mingo. Always.
135, Tony Marino.
Those phrases and penalties are having a major factor in the score, Greg.
I got to agree. It's all going to come down to the phrase and whether or not Terry Phillips decides to do some crazy math. Let's send it down to the field for the start of our second half.
Chuck Mingo, let's pick your random phrase for the third quarter. Your random phrase is, so my obvious next step is to grow a handlebar mustache.
My obvious next step to grow
Obviously.
A handlebar mustache. That'll be a bit of a challenge.
Maybe the use of a little Beardisil.
Well, as you saw in that video, the commercial set, our next series is Heavyweights 2, and we're going to be dealing with big God questions. And, you know, for some of us, maybe these are the questions that are keeping us from going to the next place with God or even beginning a relationship with God. We would love to know, what are the questions that have been things you've wrestled with? So text those questions in to the number on the screen. Every week in the series, we're going to have time for question and answer. We'll be responding to some of the questions that we get in, and certainly to the big questions we get in. And we expect a lot of them, or at least a big thrust of them, will be around this idea of suffering, this idea of adversity. So let's continue on with Paul and the thorns. So what we talked about is adversity can help us challenge assumptions and actually help us face limits. And now we're going to see, what does God say in response to Paul's request for this thorn to be removed? So in 2 Corinthians 12, again, Paul says three times, I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So the response he gets is that there is something beyond the limit. There's something beyond this assumption. My grace is sufficient for you. And one of the things that we really value around here at Crossroads is being real people who talk about honest, real things in an authentic way. And so we knew going into the Super Bowl, we couldn't have this weekend happen without talking about the biggest name leading up to the game tonight. Peyton Manning is a superstar. I am actually, I think, rooting for the Broncos in the game at this point. But he wasn't the big name that was being heard over and over and over again leading up to the game. That name was? Richard. That's right, Richard Sherman. So we got to talk about the rant, and I'm just going to be real with you guys, okay? If I'm just real about this for a minute. So for me, when this happened, if you're not familiar, after the Seahawks beat the 49ers to go into the Super Bowl, Richard Sherman, right after the game, has a sideline interview with Aaron Andrews, and he had quite the rant. I mean, it was quite the rant. And for me, watching that was so difficult. I mean, I don't know if you have a friend who's a bad driver, but, you know, if you have a friend who's a bad driver, maybe you found yourself in the passenger seat doing one of these, like you have an air brake you wish you had. As this was going on, I'm like, oh, Richard, please no, please, please no. Because for me, what I entered into that situation with was my own perspective, which is this. This guy is going to reinforce negative stereotypes. He's a black man, he's high energy, he's got dreadlocks, and I know that there's going to be a section of culture that makes this a race issue. And sure enough, on Twitter, he was called all kinds of horrible things. He was called a monkey. He was called the N-word. He was called a thug, which for me is code word for the N-word right now in some circles of our culture, and I was angry about it. I'm just being honest with you. I was angry about it. And I remembered as I was processing this, you know what, I'm bringing into this my own brokenness. This is part of my story. Part of my story of being discriminated against, being called certain things, being misjudged because of the color of my skin. And I just was struggling, and it was really hard. So you can imagine when we came in and we were like, hey, you know, we're doing this. We've got to talk about the most culturally current thing, which is Richard Sherman. I didn't want to talk about Richard Sherman. I wanted Richard Sherman to go away. That's what I wanted, personally. And in the midst of that, as we talked about it, Brian had interviewed Solomon, and Solomon had some interesting insights on this situation, and I want to share with you some of what Solomon said.
Yeah, when I think of Richard Sherman, what I hear is I hear the scripture when God says that I look at the inward part of the man. I look upon the heart of an individual, not necessarily the outward parts. And I think most of us in our daily lives, we look at people, we look at the rapper, we look at how they're dressed, we look at their hair. Richard Sherman has the dreadlocks. He's from an area where I grew up in Compton in South Central Los Angeles. People are asking, well, where did he come from? He grew up in this violent environment. But at a closer look as to who Richard Sherman really is, here's a young man who's never been in trouble. He's never committed any crimes. He's a graduate from Stanford University. Wasn't a high draft pick in the National Football League, but since his rookie year, he's led the league with 20 interceptions, and he's become the best corner in the National Football League. He goes into schools in the inner city area in Seattle and back home in Los Angeles, and he's teaching the principles and the importance of education for young people. He's giving back his time into the community, and he's a great leader on his team. So all the things that he really brings to the table, if you take the time to look under the hood, peek behind the veil, you'll see that there's great substance to who he really is. And I think that's what God does when he looks at us. And so I think that's how we ought to look at not just Richard Sherman, but that's how we ought to really look at ourselves.
Wow. Well, using Tome's clip could be a challenge here.
Move.
Let's see what happens. Oh, a challenge flag.
Expected.
Brian Tome, what's your challenge?
Feeling like a minority right now. I mean, we had Derek Coleman earlier. We got Richard Sherman. Now we got Solomon Wilcox. It's all black all the time.
Even Mike Tyson.
The whole deal.
Just said that.
Oh.
Race mask. Not enough diversity in your message examples. Couldn't you at least throw in like an Asian dude or two? There will be a 3-point penalty assessed at the end of the quarter. You maintain possession of the Bible.
Rise at the flag.
I haven't seen a race mask in a long time.
That is new. It's new for me. Yeah, that might.
I tell you what, it is great to be in a place where we can honestly talk about this and laugh at this issue as well. That's a good thing. That's a healthy thing for us as a community. It really is. It really, really is. In fact, we need to be inclusive on all kinds of levels around here. I don't have anything against people with handlebar mustaches, so obviously my next step is to grow a handlebar mustache as well. So, you know, we need to be inclusive of everyone. Everyone.
Felt like he was just getting out of the way.
So here's the deal with Richard Sherman. The story of Richard Sherman is not a story about race for me. It's a story about grace. It's a story about grace, because here's the deal. Richard Sherman came into that interview out of his own brokenness. He came out of it just the way that he was. You know what? So did the racist tweeter, and so did I. And here's what God says to everyone who has limits, to everyone who has weak moments. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Who of us hasn't had a 60-second rant in our lives that we wish we could take back? To our spouse, to our children. And God says to all of us, my grace is sufficient for you. I don't know what the limits are that you're facing. I don't know what the adversity is. But I do know that God's grace is sufficient for you. So if you are dealing with the limit of fear in your life, God's grace is sufficient for you. If you are dealing today with the fear, with the limit of guilt for things that you've done, God's grace is sufficient for you. Maybe you came in here and your marriage is on the rocks. I want you to know God's grace is sufficient for your marriage. If you're discouraged today, it doesn't matter, because God's grace is sufficient for that discouragement, and he will give you encouragement. No matter where you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you believe about God, he has grace for you, and it is sufficient. It is sufficient. Touchdown, Chuck Mingo. Chuck, you're awarded 7 points for a great message. However, I cannot give you 3 points for the phrase. You also had a 3-point penalty that results in an end of third quarter score of Chuck Mingo for... Wow, this is tough math. Chuck Mingo, 14. Brian Tome, 7. That's the end of the third quarter.
See what we meant about the math?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Well, Tome is clearly coming out with some momentum after that race mask. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Let's send it down for the fourth quarter.
You seriously have to start living up to racial stereotypes. Honestly, right. I don't know.
Pick your phrase for the fourth quarter, Brian.
Gosh. All right.
You want me on your team, by the way.
I do, yes.
And your random phrase is, and that's how I know gurgling cottage cheese does not equate to brushing your teeth.
Oh, man.
That's why I know gurgling cottage cheese does not equate
that's
to
disgusting.
Brushing your teeth. That might take up half the quarter.
That is gross.
All right. Okay, so last section of this verse that we'll look at today.
The Apostle Paul says, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He's saying that when all of this adversity comes his way, weaknesses, insults, hardships, these are some of the many adversities we can face, he has a unique way to lean into Christ, because when he is weak, being beaten down by the adversity, he finds grace, he finds something of God that actually makes him bigger eventually and stronger than he was before. This is what adversity does to us, right? Adversity presses us into something, and we come out on the other side a little stronger as a result of it. Now, there is some adversity, there is some suffering that may not have a nice, beautiful bow at the end of it. It's true. In fact, as you're texting in questions, things you want us to look at during the heavyweight series, I'm going to assume that there's going to be something about the problem of pain and suffering. And as we talk about that, assuming that's one of the weeks, one of the things we'll see is not everything has a nice, simple answer that ties into a better future for us. Not everything does, but most of it is. Most of it is. We need pressure. We need the pressure of knowing there's a test tomorrow to get me to study right now and to make my brain stronger. We need the pressure of a barbell on my hands that's tearing down muscle fibers to get my muscle fibers to mend and be stronger than they were before. You might be familiar with the biosphere too. It is an experiment scientists have been doing to see what would happen if a perfect environment, void of any pollutants, a perfect environment was created, what might the Earth look like? And so inside of this biosphere, this glass dome, it's in Arizona, they've got a lot of plants and such that would be right outside of the dome in Arizona. And when they first started doing this, they noticed that the trees in the biosphere just took off. In fact, they started growing faster than the trees that were outside the biosphere. And then something happened that they were not expecting. The trees inside the biosphere started to wilt. They started to bend. They started to fall over. And they're scratching their heads. Why would this be? And they realized the one thing they didn't put inside of their artificial environment was adversity. One thing they did put in was wind. And they learned that on the outside, you can look like you're strong and going higher and higher and higher, but it's the wind, it's the adversity that comes from the wind that gets the inner core strong. It's the adversity of an external force that's pushing on you that enables you to stand and have inner fiber that lasts. This is the way it is with us. God brings or uses the adversity that comes to us to make us stronger, to have us go against all the myths and all the fables that we might believe. This is one of the reasons why I'm excited to do the heavyweight series. I just want to challenge you to come back. For some, it might be a level of adversity encountering some of those things. For others of us, it's going to be a very stimulating and strong time. We have in our society all kinds of things that keep us from thinking properly. Specifically, we have a soundbite culture. We just believe that if someone said it, then it's true. We just believe if everybody is saying the same soundbite over and over, well, if there's a good God, then why is there suffering? Obviously, there must not be a God. It's a soundbite. It sounds really good. It's a little soundbite. But there's a lot of soundbites that people recount over and over and over again that aren't true. And that's how I know that gurgling cottage cheese doesn't equate to brushing your teeth. There's beautiful. Nothing like Crest. Nothing like beautiful. Crest.
I think he gets the points on that
true
one.
True professional.
Well done. Yep.
So, our culture doesn't operate well by having a strong, intellectual, rigorous argument. If you look at how our political process goes, anything, everything is in soundbite. And many of us have just adopted soundbites about God. We've adopted soundbite spiritual phrases that we think that there's no answer to or no other side to. And we're hoping that you might see that there's something different about God that goes beyond our surface culture here in our country. We'd love to have you back. Romans 5, chapter, verse 3 says this. We also glory in our tribulations. We almost boast, if you will, in our adversity, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. How do you have hope? Part of how you have hope is your character has been formed out of the perseverance that came
from the adversity. That's a big part of where hope. Hey, I've been here before. I came through it. I'm going to go through it again. And another piece of the hope, the primary piece of the hope, is what Chuck talked about. It's grace. I realize that on the end of my rope, I have hope because there is a person who's gone before me. His name is Jesus, who has been through crazy adversity, the adversity of being nailed to a cross, the adversity of being shunned, the adversity of feeling separate. And yet through his pain, we get accepted into God's presence, and as a result of that, we have hope. I'm strong, he's strong, because we get to depend on God. Strong because we're less about ourselves and more on God. Strong because our weakness doesn't define us, God defines us. Strong because adversity brings out new and increased strength. Let me just pray for us right now, because some of us may have needed to hear this message right now in the midst of all the laughter. I just want to take a moment to pray for you. God, I thank you that you've done something good in history. You've done something good in our life. And I'm hoping that we're able to see that with more clarity today. And I'm hoping we're now able to have fresh lenses towards the thing in our life that is the thorn, the thing that is not the way we want it to be, our job situation, our family situation, our physical situation, whatever it is. God, help us have the endurance and the hope to go a little further as we try to grow to be the person you want us to be and as we have a unique sense of your presence. Would you give that to us right now in this time? And I pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Touchdown, Brian Tome.
Yeah.
Brian, you're awarded 7 points for a great message, 3 points for use of the phrase. That means we have an end-of-game score of Chuck Mingo 14, Brian Tome 17. Brian, you are the Super Bowl of preaching champion. It's also my honor to give you a 1-year supply of beer to sell.
Ah, wonderful. He needs it.
Well played, well played. You know, one of the things, yes. It takes 2,200 volunteers to make this fun weekend happen. Some of you are in here. They're the folks who are hanging out with your kids and Kids Club. Thank a volunteer on your way out. Thank you guys for serving.
Excellent.
Hey, I got to tell you, if you were here today, my calendar says February. That means just 1 month away from opening Crossroads West Side. We'll see you out on Bridgetown Road soon. You want to talk
last
predictions?
One, predictions? Yeah, what do you got?
I'm going sheer athleticism. Seattle Seahawks, low-scoring game, 21-17.
My head agrees, but my heart says Peyton Manning, 28-21. Remember to get your kids. Have a great Super Bowl.
We need your parking space. Get out of here and have a great day.